Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord Jesus. Amen. The word of God for our consideration today is the second lesson from 2 Peter chapter 1, printed on page 5 of the worship folder. So what do you think of Thomas? Kind of gets a bad rap, doesn't he? You know, the disciples are in that room and Jesus appears and Thomas isn't there. Thomas comes back and Thomas says to them, and they say to Thomas, "We saw Jesus alive." And Thomas says, "Come on. I'm not going to believe that unless I see Jesus with my own eyes, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger where those nail marks were, unless I see where the spear pierced his side and put my hand where the spear mark is, I simply won't believe it." What happened? A week later, Thomas is there. Jesus appears again. And he looks at Thomas and he says, "Well, Thomas, now you see, right? Here. Put your finger here. See my side?" And Thomas believed, right? Do you notice the words that Jesus said after that? He said, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Why did Jesus speak those words? Well, it's because Jesus knew that he was only going to be on this earth after his resurrection for 40 days. Well, really only 38 now, right? Or 32. Lots of people were going to have to believe that Jesus rose from the dead without actually seeing him with their own eyes. They were going to have to believe that Jesus rose from the dead based on the eyewitness testimony of other people, and that includes us, right? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. We haven't seen Jesus with our own eyes, but yet we believe, right? We believe that Jesus rose from the dead. It almost seems like the Apostle Peter, when he wrote these words, was confronted with some people who were having trouble believing some of the things that Peter was teaching, because they just didn't make sense to them. So Peter, what he's doing for us here is he's kind of giving a defense of the scriptures. And look again at what he says. He says, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." I like that term, cleverly invented stories. And you know, you have to know that there's a lot of people in our society today that simply think the Bible is a bunch of cleverly invented stories, right? That Jesus' followers simply made up the story that Jesus had risen from the dead. And people started believing it. The story kind of caught on. The whole thing started exploding until what we have today is the Christian religion. And they don't believe any of it. They simply look at the Bible as a bunch of cleverly invented stories, and they really don't believe there's any truth to it. Peter's defending that, right? He said, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus." And he says, "We were eyewitnesses to his majesty." So what is Peter saying there? He's saying, this isn't stuff we made up. We're telling you what we've seen with our own eyes, what we've heard with our own ears. And then he gives an example. "For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." What he's talking about is the transfiguration of Jesus. If you remember that story, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a mountain, and while they were with Jesus, Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus, and they were talking about Jesus suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. And then suddenly, Jesus just was glowing in all his heavenly glory, describing it as brighter than lightning. And then they heard the voice of God himself saying, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." So what is Peter saying here? He's saying, I didn't just make up that story. And neither did James and neither did John. But we were eyewitnesses. We are telling you, when we were up on that mountain, we're telling you exactly what we saw. We saw Moses and Elijah with our own eyes. We saw Jesus in all his heavenly glory with our own eyes and with our own ears. We heard the voice of God giving his stamp of approval on the work that Jesus was doing. And what Peter says is after being an eyewitness to not just the Mount of Transfiguration, but everything else Jesus had done, it gave him better clarity to the words of the Old Testament. He says, "And as we have the word of the prophets made more certain, you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our heart. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." It's not that Peter doubted the Old Testament, but he said, now that I have seen everything Jesus did, I've seen his life, his miracles, heard his teachings, the Mount of Transfiguration, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and all those appearances, by the way, of Jesus after, right? Jesus, it wasn't like Jesus only appeared to the disciples. He appeared to all kinds of people. And so Peter says, now I have the words of the Old Testament prophecies made more certain. Because what he was seeing with his own eyes and hearing with his own ears are all the prophecies of the Old Testament being fulfilled in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And he said, you know, I'm absolutely sure that all of those Old Testament prophecies were true. I'm absolutely sure that those prophecies did not have their origin, you know, in the prophet's own mind. But I am absolutely sure that they wrote those words as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, by divine inspiration from God, because he saw all of those prophecies being fulfilled one after the other, again, in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Of course, that not only applies to the Old Testament, it applies to the New Testament also, right? As you and I look back at all those Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in the life of Jesus, and then as we listen to what the Bible writers tell us about Jesus, and tell us that they are writing things that they saw with their own eyes and heard with their own ears. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were not just making things up. They wrote in those gospels what they had seen and heard. And the same thing goes with the Apostle Paul as Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And as he spent those years down in Arabia being taught by Jesus himself to become an apostle, they were absolutely sure. Now, do people make things up in the name of religion? Yeah, they do, right? What's usually their motivation? Popularity and money, right? I mean, that's what people do. People make up all kinds of things. You know, people will claim that they've gotten direct visions from God, and even though they totally contradict the Bible, they're out there spreading those lies, claiming God gave me this information, or people claim to have miraculous powers or whatever, all these visions and everything. And a lot of times, it's there simply to draw people to themselves Or they claim that that they have the key to fabulous wealth, right? You know, all these people who send you stuff in the mail or get on television and tell you how if you trust in Jesus, if you do this and this, you'll suddenly become fabulously wealthy. And you know, I guess in a sense they're right. Now, who's becoming fabulously wealthy? They are. I'm not going to call people out in a church service, but if you want to do something interesting, just Google the net worth of preachers or something to that effect. The list is amazing, and names you will instantly recognize that are worth millions of dollars. You know, and I think the top 10, the least net worth was $33 million, and the highest net worth was well over $100 million. Okay, it's just amazing. So yeah, people make things up in the name of religion. But Peter didn't, right? How do we know? Well, if people make things up in the name of religion for personal gain, personal profit, personal prestige, is that what happened with the apostles? After Jesus ascended, they went out and they shared what they had seen and heard, and what happened to them? Did they get fabulously wealthy? Did they become popular? It was just the opposite. They were persecuted. They were ridiculed. They pretty much lost everything they had. And with the exception of John, every single one of them died for the sake of their message. Now, if these were cleverly invented stories, do you think they would have done that? Do you think they would have allowed themselves to be persecuted? Do you think they would have stood before the executioner and some of them killed in some very slow, painful ways? Do you think they would have stood there and held on to their message of the resurrected Christ in the face of death if they didn't believe it was true? Of course not. If they were just making this stuff up, they would have abandoned it a long time ago. So why were they willing to lose everything, to give up everything, to face death itself for the sake of Jesus and his message? There's only one reason. Because they knew it was true. They knew it was true. And of course, the message here for us is, we believe it's true also, don't we? Did you catch the words that Peter used? He said, "We have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place." This is not cleverly made up stuff. This is the word of God, written by eyewitnesses, and we would do well to pay attention to it. Because it's a light shining in the dark place. The word of God, the message of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, is a light of faith shining in this dark world of sin and unbelief. It's a ray of hope in a world that is filled with hopelessness and despair. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Do you believe that all of your sins are forgiven? Do you believe that when you die, Jesus is going to take you to heaven? Of course we do. Because we have eyewitness testimony. And we would do well to pay attention to it, to listen to it, to believe it, to follow it. Amen.